Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. God, you are so good and your mercy endures forever, Lord. You are just great and greatly to be praised. How we love you on today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us, Lord. Thank you for saving us from ourselves, Lord. Now we thank you for your word. Speak to us through your word. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, it illuminates the way. As we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world, God, thank you for leaving the blueprint on how to think, how to act, how to love, how to give, how to forgive. You covered everything in your word. Now speak to us now, Lord. Bless your people that they may hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts this morning. We thank you, we love you, we bless you, Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign. God, you are so good. Thank you for saving us, Lord. You saved us all from something and from somewhere and from somebody and from ourselves. Thank you so much. God, we can't thank. We had 10,000 tongues. We couldn't thank you enough. But we will pause this morning and say, thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Now bless your word and bless your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're finishing our, well, I'm not going to even say finish, we're continuing our series, Is God Enough? And we find ourselves in the wilderness. So we're trying to navigate in the wilderness, and Paul has a message for us. And think about it, he's speaking to the church at Corinth. It's over in one of the places we're going to visit when we take the trip to follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Over near Greece. It's a city in Greece in Paul's day, a pagan, surrounded by pagan idols and everything else. They're doing everything. And here's the church, the called out ones, right in the middle of that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Feels just like we are today in the middle of a society that's kind of going away from God. But as we're going through the wilderness, God was just sharing this with me. In the wilderness, they were coming out of a similar situation in Egypt, where they were had idols and many gods, and now they're in the church at Corinth, many gods and idols, and then here we are in America, many gods and many idols. So this is relevant. It was relevant to the children of Israel then. It was relevant to the New Testament church, and it's relevant to us today. So Paul's trying to teach them how to navigate through it, and through the word, God's trying to teach us how to navigate through it. So it's just three points I'm going to make. And you all know I'm always all over the place, and I'm doing too much already. I'm telling you now, I'm doing too much already. But I have to cut it off at 10:40 so we can go out in fellowship and support the table and before the other church comes in. But look at 10 and 1. Here's Paul saying, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So make a note. He's talking about our biblical history. It was stated earlier that if any man, any woman be in Christ, they're a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That even includes your history. So Paul is saying this is your history now. And he's going to say later that our history is Christ and Christ crucified. So all that other stuff is not really our history. I mean, it's something that happened. We learned from it, but that we're a new creation now. That really doesn't apply to us. And basically, it's all satanically influenced anyway. That's why we needed a new history. That's why we needed a savior. Because it's all stemmed in pride, where I'm something because of where I come from or who I am or what country or how I look. Or it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem.
That's it.
So Paul said, don't be ignorant. Don't get caught up in all that other stuff. Brands and logos and jobs and political parties. He said, that is all a part of the old stuff. It's not part of who you are now. Look what he says. And we're baptized under Moses in the cloud. And in the sea, verse 2, verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Look what he says. Even back then, of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was? So Jesus was back then. So Jesus was then. Jesus is with us now. Jesus will be our Lord in the future. Somebody say amen. But make a note, they were in the middle of the wilderness. Why did a trip that took 40 years should have taken 11 days? Because they got caught up in the wilderness and dysfunction became normal. And they died in their dysfunction. It became normal. Even with Christ there. So that's saying you could be in church and Christ is here and you would still walk out of here and be the same. And go and participate in your dysfunction. Look who says in verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. It's about 2 million of them that did not, probably about a million, I think, that did not make it. That's, Paul gives a warning first about our history. Now, this is alarming. It goes from warning to alarming. Million people with Christ, the cloud by day, the fire by night, and they don't make it to the promise that God has for them. That's alarming, family. So here we are now as we're trying our best to navigate through the wilderness. And God is saying, you have to stay focused. You have to stay close to Christ. You have to keep reading. You have to keep praying. You have to keep fasting. You have to keep your daily routine to stay close. You have to continue to worship God. Don't get caught up in the idols. Appreciate other things, but worship nothing but God. And family, we've been talking about it. This is not a religious thing. It's not a robotic thing. It's not I have to do, like, I got to pray every morning because it's I have to pray every morning because I need God every morning. And I want to know what God has for me today. And I need to be discerning all day. And then tomorrow I need to wake up and do it again. It's not a religious thing. Don't get caught up. It's not the religious. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's about, God, I need more of you. So I don't get caught up and then start fooling myself and get caught up in dysfunction. So we went over three things already. Says God, verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, which means they just died on the spot in the wilderness. And here's the sad thing. God was trying to take them to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. We're going to see that in just a minute. And they got so distracted that they decided to do their own thing and forgot all about the promise that God had with them, and they died in their dysfunction. That's the sad commentary. That they forgot all about. They got so comfortable. What was, okay, number one and six. Now, these were our examples to the intent that we should not. Number one, they lusted after evil things. They became the evil thing. They're in the wilderness and they just got to have any and everything that their flesh tells them to have. For 40 years and died on the spot. Verse 7, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So they got into idol worship. In the wilderness, what do you do for 40 years? You worship idols. You worship stuff. And you never get to where God wants you to go. And, you know, we're a nation, America, we're a nation of brands and logos. Like I said, you can appreciate things, but you worship nothing but the true and living God. The ladies already told us, there's only one thing that's going to fill that hole in your heart, and that's Jesus Christ. And you will search and search and search, and you will chase your tail your whole life, go in circles, eating the same pattern of grass, and you will die right there. And God said, I had so much more for you. And we understand the spiritual warfare that we're in. That's the enemy's job, to get us distracted so we can die in our dysfunction and never reach. And that's why I say, it's not about judging people. It's not about, it's like, I don't want, as a pastor, I don't want you to settle for less. I don't want you to miss anything that God has for you. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. It's not about what you're doing, because all that's been covered by the blood. If you've truly been saved by grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and accept him in your heart. So that's already covered. But then why do you frustrate yourself in life by getting caught up in stuff that God doesn't have for you? All right, so here we are, number three. Oh, my God. Verse 8, and neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. It's number three. So they're lusting after evil things, doing any and everything. They're worshiping idols, and they're sleeping around with any and everything, man, woman, or beast. They did not discriminate, and we don't either. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And when you look up the word in the Greek, fornication, it comes from the Greek word porneia, and which we get pornography and all that kind of stuff from. And then it also said spiritual idolatry. So first you physically start sleeping around, and then spiritually you're just gone. You start worshiping the act, building your own altars. We talked about it last time. What do you think you're doing when you just set the music and you got your candles and everything? You done built your own altar. And if you're not married, you sure worshiping. You're not worshiping God. That's for sure. You done built the whole thing. That's why I told Solomon, you got to stay away from that stuff. Solomon just started building all kind of altars and just it took his heart. But see, this is the toughest thing, right? Because we all, and I wrote it down, because we all have to deal with relationships. This is all about relationships. Most important relationship is our vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one. When this is right, then everything else is right. When my relationship with Christ is right, my relationship with my spouse is right. But when I take my eyes off of Christ, then she's getting on my nerve. That's getting on my nerve. The kids are getting on my nerve. But when this is right, nothing. It's because I see God. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, I'm connected with Christ. That's easy to do. Wives, respect your husband. You connected to God. That's easy to do because you're respecting God. That's easy to do. Don't provoke your kids under wrath. That's easy to do. But when I'm not right here, then the kids get on my nerve. Oh, my kids. My wife, she's always tripping. And she's not in here. Okay, good. And when this isn't right, then the people at the church are killing me. Gosh darn. God, are you sure? But that's only when this, it's all about relationships, family. It's all about relationships. And so since God didn't create robots, God's given us his word on how to deal with relationships. Look at Corinthians. Who's with me today? JL. All right. Cool. But look what Paul says. Take us to 10 and 20, JL. Paul is saying we got to make a choice who we're going to hang out with. In this thing called relationship, you got to make a choice who you're going to hang out with. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Oh, my God. Be careful who you hang out with. They sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot hang out with anyone. Look what he says in verse 21. Don't you fool yourself. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't do it. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You just can't do it. Look how he took us to the past and saying Christ was the water and he was the drink and he was the rock. And he brings us to our present right here saying we're doing the Lord's table. You can't take the table of the Lord and then go fellowship with devils. You can't do it. We have to make a choice. It's a relationship. What does it come down to? My relationships. On Sunday, my relationships are good. Well, at least from 9 to 10:30 when I'm hanging out with y'all. But then comes Monday. And then comes Tuesday. And I really have to be prayed up, discerning, so I don't get caught up. And make a note of the scripture, too, is that you just can't do it. Now, we go out and we minister and we evangelize and all that. But as far as partaking. OK, Pastor, what are you saying? All right. OK, here we go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Let me help somebody this morning, including myself.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? You are the light.
Yes.
What are you doing hanging out with darkness? You can't do it. You can do it, but you shouldn't do it. And you have to go to work, but you're the light that comes to work. You bring the light with you. We have to deal with an unbelieving world. When we send our kids to school, when we go to work, when I go to the gym, when you go, you're always dealing with unbelievers. But we're there to evangelize. We're there to share the gospel. We're there to be a light, not to become darkness and hang out with darkness and fellowship with darkness. No. And then when you're talking relationships, and ladies, I know how tough it is. You're trying to find the right guy and he fits everything, but he's in the darkness. It says you can't do it. Checked off everything, but it gets to dark and it's the only thing missing. This dude's on all kind of darkness, but he's good. And we all know that. We learn from experience that it's just God's word is real. And he's not lying. You can get mixed up with darkness and think it's going to turn out light. It's going to be light brown, which is still dark. Which is still dark. Yep. So what do you do? I don't know. You stay prayed up and you wait for who God has for you. And Kathy, I got some read this, but I don't know if I got time for all this read this stuff today. But, you know, my wife and I, we were watching these strange addiction shows. I don't know. We're just passing the channel. And so I don't know. And they had these guys, something was wrong with them, obviously, but they had married dolls. You saw that? Yeah. So they married dolls. Dolls, D-O-L-L-S. When I was a kid with my L.A. accent, when I had my L.A. accent, I say dials. My sister's dial was in the floor, so I kicked it. So, but they were dolls, okay? And we don't have that option as Christians. And he would have it at dinner, and it's sitting at the table. And it looks just like a lady, and it's, well, not really like a lady. Anyway, but it's sitting at the table. And he's eating, and it's sitting there, and just... And then he takes it to bed with him. I guess that's 50 Shades of Sin. I don't know what's going on with that. But we don't have that option, Jay. We got real people. And so it's obviously something's anyway. And then I was thinking, but you didn't see any ladies that had guy dolls, you know, right? Because it's like, what is, you know, you just sit there and watch TV and don't move and don't do nothing. That's us all anyway, so, you know. Hey, you going to wash the dishes just sitting there watching the game? You going to do anything? Go to bed. So it didn't, I guess ladies like, already, I got a real one. I got a real dummy. I don't need a dog. And so it was just really weird. But we don't have that option. We got to deal with the real thing. God help us. Kathy, y'all killing me this morning. Let me get back to the word. We don't have that option. Look, okay, let's go back to 6 and 4. 2 Corinthians 6 and 4. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what And what communion hath light with darkness? You tell me. If the light's not evangelizing the darkness, what is the light doing with the darkness? Verse 15, and what accord hath Christ with Belial? What is Christ doing hanging out with the devil or someone filled with the devil? He's not trying to evangelize and get them saved. Or what part hath the believeth with an infidel? What are we doing? Here we go. And what agreement? Paul makes it clear. Look, make a note. God isn't confused. We are. And keep this in the context of in the wilderness. So we're trying to get to where God is trying to take us, but we get so confused that we hang out with darkness in the wilderness and we never get there. And it's not the sad thing that we're hanging out with darkness. The sad thing is that we forgot what God has for us and we're settling for darkness as opposed to light and God's plan and promise for our life. It's the sad thing. And here we go. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Uh-oh. For you are the temple of the living God. Somebody underline that. When Christ came in our heart, when we accepted Christ, he came and filled us with his Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, which is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you and me. Look what God says. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will live in them and walk in them. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Write this down as a promise of God, and we're going to go over that before we dismiss. Write this. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So promise. Write that down. That is a promise. When we surrender to Christ, he comes in. And then the battle is on. Spiritual warfare. The enemy wants you to live like anything else but the temple of God. So you have to understand the spiritual warfare. Look what he says. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Which means, okay, what does that mean? That means you shouldn't be marrying somebody that's unequally yoked. You shouldn't be dating someone that's unequally yoked. Well, pastor, he's a good guy, and I know the Lord's going to save him. Okay, well, once he gets saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit, if it's meant to be, then come back around to it. But it's definitely not a missionary marriage where I'm saved and we're going to get married and save him. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I love this. Verse 18. Write this down. And I will be a father unto you. You can't even blame your father for not being there anymore, because in Christ we're a new creation. And we have a father. And he's told us how to live, how to think, how to act, how to love, how to forgive. There's no more excuses. I will be a father unto you and shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord. Write that down. That's a promise. Whew, thank you, Lord. Ladies, make a note. So the enemy, as he tries to remind you of your past, well, you can remind him of his future, which we know how it's going to lake of fire, how it's going to end for him. But when he tries to remind you of your past, you go right to this scripture and you understand who you are in Christ. And make a note that Deuteronomy 7:6 talks about how we are a special treasure. Men, you make a note, too, that who you are in God. Young men, whether you had a dad in the home or not, you are a son of the Most High. And we talked about this last week. That DNA and all that kind of stuff, you can do all that and find out, you know, who you were connected to. That's a sinner. That's all you're going to find out. I'm connected to such and such, and he was a sinner. Okay. This is your history now. If you found out, okay, DNA, you found out you was connected to King, who is it, King, Queen Elizabeth, whoever. You go around telling me, you know, I'm part of the royal family, King, Queen Elizabeth, and Prince Charles. No, really? Yeah, I found out through DNA. Okay. And you want to tell everybody and stick your chest out and all that kind of stuff. But right here, God says, you are daughter of the King of all kings. You the son of the King of all kings. And I don't tell nobody. I'm ashamed to tell people what, because I'm going to seem weird. But people need to get saved. Y'all better start opening your mouth and starting the conversation.
Amen.
Where are you from? I'm connected to the King of all kings. You want to know more about it? Then let them get away from you. That's right. Plant that seed and let them move on. I will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. I absolutely love that. And let's, JL, take us to 7:1, just the next verse. Look what he says. Here, having therefore these what?
Promises.
Underline it. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Get that filthiness out of your flesh and your spirit. Some crazy stuff that was spoken over us or we expose ourselves to, in the name of Jesus, cleanse it from our flesh and our spirit. And then perfecting, that word in the Greek means completing. And then we complete the holiness and the fear, and that means the reverence of God, respecting the awesomeness of God.
Yes.
God, you're just too good and your word is too good. All right, we're going to close with this. Joshua 21:43, JL. Right, Brother Tommy going, So we studied this Wednesday night. And this, they finally made it. Here's the group of believers, Israelites, that made it into the wilderness. They made it through. Unfortunately, the ones that got caught up in their dysfunction, they died off, and now they step into the promised land. They just divvied up the land. So, number one, make a note that God keeps his promise. God told them they were going to get there. Ooh, make a note that God's will is going to be fulfilled with or without you. With or, if you die off in the wilderness, God's plan and purpose for this world is still going to get accomplished. If you choose to do your own thing and die and go to hell, God's plan and purpose for this world. And if you don't believe me, make a note, Esther 4:14. But Mordecai told Esther, look, if you don't want to help out with this, your family going to be destroyed, but God's still going to deliver his people and y'all going to die. He said, but you never know. You might have been placed in that palace for such a time as this, but God's will is still going to be done. God's promises will be completed with or without us. If we choose, because it is a choice, if we choose to stay in our dysfunction and die in the wilderness, that's on us. Verse 43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt. He gave, underline, gave, God gave, just like he gave us Christ. Just like he just gave us a promise in the New Testament that we are his sons and daughters. God promised it, and it's done. He gave, underline, all the land which he swore, everything. Look what he says in verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest. One of the young ladies talked about being able to rest.
Yes.
Make a note, obedience brings rest. It's the revelation, obedience brings rest. Obedience to Christ brings us that rest that we've been so desperately searching for. The Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore. God, make a note what God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot break his promise, and God cannot fail. Everything he said, it happened. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. They didn't have any issues with enemies. The word it says when our ways please the Lord, he makes our enemies even be at peace with us. God's word is true. Verse 44, there failed not a word of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. There's that word again. All came to pass. Family, I can't trust God for you. You can't trust God for me. But everything God promised them, it came to pass. Now, everybody that was part of the original promise didn't make it. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it shows that God, it's going to, what God has spoken is going to come to pass with or without us. We have to make a choice, but make a note, God cannot fail. God cannot lie. God does not break his promise. So in the midst of us navigating through the wilderness, temptations, frustrations, distractions, stay the course. Stay close to God. Pray, fast, read daily. Stay connected to your mentors and to those who you're accountable to. Stay plugged into a good Bible-believing teaching church. That's not the time to miss church. That's the time to run to church. Amen. So let me read this and then we're going to close in prayer. It says, here's the good news. So we don't have to think that life is a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a religious thing. It's about my relationship with Christ. And not missing out on anything that God has for me. God is not trying to prevent you and I from having fun. God is trying to prevent us from self-destructing and going to hell in the process. God is trying to save us from ourselves. It actually says this right here. It says, look, I don't fool myself. I know what I'm dealing with when I look in the mirror. I don't fool myself. I know what I got to deal with when I... Without God, it says it right here. Let me say it again. Look, I don't fool myself. I know what I'm dealing with when I look in the mirror. I must stay connected and walk with God daily. So I don't do or say or get caught up in something stupid and ungodly. And Teen Challenge, what we do here, we have linked sausages, so the message never ends. And so I say, normally say this, it never ends. Did I say that right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So the message is a linked sausage where you cut it off and then, because the rest we'll have to pick up next week. If you would, just bow your heads just for a quick minute. And we'll pray and then we'll dismiss because we're just a little behind. But, oh God, you're so good. And Lord, we're just going to just pray a rededication for all of us. Lord, just heart-to-heart connection to you. God, forgive us of our sins. The promise is if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's your promise, Lord. So we confess right now because we've blown it in some form or fashion. But it's about staying connected to you. God, we don't want to miss the plan and the purpose you have for our life. You have so much more than the picture the enemy's trying to paint and distract us and get us caught up in dysfunction. God, forgive us for our ungodly relationships, Lord. Send the right person, Lord, the right people, Lord, the right friend, the right spouse, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and give us the patience to wait on you. Yes. For those of us that are married, don't allow us to look outside our marriage, but look within. Keep our vertical right with you and follow your word. Don't let us get distracted by any picture that Satan would paint. God, forgive us for worshiping idols and things and stuff and not trusting you. God, help us to trust you. The only way we can trust is when you send us through. But we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. How you made us whiter than snow. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. May the word not only be information and then the revelation, but let it lead to transformation. So we walk out of here, Lord. Let us be mindful of the relationships that we enter into, God. And give us the strength and the courage to separate ourselves from those that are not good for us, Lord. And we know that already. But give us the strength and the courage to break away. Give us rest from our enemies. God, lead us into the place that you have for us. As we walk in obedience, may we experience the abundant life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember to stop by the table, get a CD, get some literature, stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.